Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today we're in a new chapter. It's Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Yesterday we wrapped up chapter 14 with the cost of following Jesus, the cost of faith, and then some interesting words about salt. And there was a lot to wonder about. So let's see what we get today. Here it goes, Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So, well, to begin with, they're parables. It says so right there in the text. So he told them this parable. It's a parable. And you know, I think probably by now how I feel about parables. Parables are dynamic stories. We hear them again and again. They mean something different every time. Or they can. They mean something different to you than to me. In this parable of the 99 and the one, I can read this parable imagining I'm that one lost sheep. I can read this parable imagining I'm one of the 99. I can read this parable and I can be the shepherd. I might be able to read this parable and imagine that I'm the one who owns the flock, who hired the shepherd. There's all sorts of ways to get into the parable. And I think that's the beauty of the parable. You offer a teaching, you share a story, but you don't control its outcome. You and I may hear the story today, and you need to hear it from the perspective of the one. And know that the shepherd looks for you even though you're not in the majority. Know that the shepherd recognizes you even though you are lost behind somewhere, feeling disconnected, looking to find everybody else. You don't know. The shepherd looks for you. You may need to hear that today. you also might be one of the 99 sitting there smugly saying, we got this covered. Unaware, unconcerned that there are those who are not safely in the flock, safely in the sheepfold. And this is a wake-up call. You need to be aware that there's somebody out there. Maybe as a shepherd, you need to be aware. Yeah, it's all well and good to have the numbers, but what about the people who are actually lost, the ones who are hurting? Do you respond to them? Do you look for them? Here the shepherd does. I had a dear friend, member of my congregation for many years. He died a few years ago now. But it's funny, I think of him quite often. He would read this parable. In fact, I remember him doing this and saying, well, it's very clear that God is not satisfied with 99%. You need to work towards 100%. You need to work towards perfection all the time. Nothing ever stands still. If you're not going after that 1% that you don't have yet, then you're just going to start sliding down. You may have 99 now, but if you're not searching for that extra 1 to get to 100, it's pretty soon you'll be at 98, 97, 96. He saw this as as a parable that told us we need to redouble our efforts and never stop. I had never heard it interpreted that way before, but I appreciated it. So you see, whatever happens with this story, I think this parable is a gift to you to sort of wonder about and just sort of see where you are in that story. Similarly, in the second parable, woman has 10 coins, but she's lost one of them. Well, yeah, but she still has all these coins. She's got 9. She's fine. She doesn't need that 10th. Not right now. It'll show up eventually. But that's not what happens. No. She lights the lamp. She sweeps the house. She searches everywhere until she finds it. And then when she finds it, there's this great celebration. And that's all wonderful and well and good. So, are you that lost coin? Do you need to hear that story today as that 10th coin that is lost? But unlike sheep, coins don't wander off. This parable can speak to you, can speak to me today as someone who's just lost, but I didn't do anything. It wasn't my fault. Nobody blames the coin for getting lost. She has misplaced it. It has been knocked over, set aside. Something else has happened. The coin has no agency in this and therefore has no blame. I can read this parable and think about difficult things going on in my life at any given time and how quickly, you know, I can get into recriminations and blame it. Oh, well, if I hadn't done this, if I'd only done that, if I was only better at this, then I wouldn't be feeling like this. This wouldn't be happening. Oh, it's all my fault. But I hear this story go, wait a minute. No, sometimes we become disconnected. Because we became disconnected, not just by anything we did, the coin has nothing to do with it. Coin didn't lose itself. The coin was lost by somebody else. Sometimes the events of the world just push you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes they push you out of your connection to God. Sometimes they just push you to the limit. That's not necessarily your fault. Now, similarly, now, it becomes limited for me because, of course, the coin can't find its way back. But the coin can wait for the woman to find it. I can wait, perhaps, for God to find me. I don't mean just sort of passively doing nothing, but maybe just calm down, relax, and realize I'll ride this through and God will be back for me. That feeling will come back. You know, I can lie down to sleep at night and pray, and as I'm praying, thinking, I can start to think to myself like, God, these are empty prayers. I'm not saying anything. I don't really mean this. God, are you there? And then feeling no connection and going, oh my God, God's left me. I've lost the ability to pray. And then I can worry about that. And the answer might be just go to sleep. Try again in the morning. Relax, try again later. I can take that parable and I can hear that. But I can also be that woman in the house and go like, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. But I should have 10 coins. I've only got 9. I need to find that one. I need to find that one because I need to be at my best. I need to find that one because indeed I need 100% of myself for whatever is coming next. I mean, if you think about that, I've engaged with people, whatever it may be, as a friend, as a family member, as a minister, as a neighbor, whatever it is. And then, you know, after the fact thought, I didn't give them 100% of me. That project, I didn't give them my best ideas. I didn't give them my enthusiasm. I didn't give them the things that they were expecting to get from me when they asked me to be part of this project. Because I was tired. I could be bothered. Something else was on my mind. Whatever it is. If I want to engage with people, then I think this parable is reminding me that it's important that I bring all 10 coins. That I bring 100%, that I bring all of myself. And if I'm not prepared to do that, maybe I need to say, excuse me, I can't be there today. I can't be part of this right now because I can't bring all of myself. And focus on the times when I can bring all of me, because when I bring all of me, when I have all my coins, there is celebration. Because I do bring something to the table. But there's no point in coming to the table if I have nothing to bring. Oh, but you got the 9 coins. I know, but with a little effort, I could bring them 10. So that effort might be some meditation. That effort might be dealing with something that's bothering me. That effort might be just clearing my calendar a little better so that I can be fully present when I am called into that moment, into that meal with family, into that day at work, whatever it is. So I can hear the parable that way, and it makes perfect sense. But the way this parable is presented invites us to hear it a certain way. It's not the only way to hear it, but in this context, right, the Pharisees are grumbling and saying this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus is off with those people. So this is a parable that Jesus is sharing with religious leaders. He himself is someone who shares God with people. Very, very, very definitely does that. But whether you believe that Jesus and God are one, the fact is Jesus is someone out there sharing the word of God. Right? The Pharisees know that. That's what the Pharisees think they do as well. So, Jesus is basically, I think, inviting them to think about that. So what good is it sharing faith with those who already have it? Why surround yourself with people who are very comfortable in their faith and find opportunity to grow in their faith? Frequent. Those opportunities are abundant. They're not hard to find. We're already pretty good. What about the ones who don't have that same access? Right? The sinners, the tax collectors. Both of those people, by the way, are ashamed to go into religious community. Right? Nobody likes tax collectors. Tax collectors were seen as collaborators with Rome. We can argue about whether that's a fair assessment or not, but that's how they were seen. So they were ashamed to be. They people looked down on them, and so they didn't want to go. Jesus is knowing the Pharisees. They're spending time with their own people. People who come to them easily. But why don't you go out to the people who can't come to you? At least that's how I read that. And then I start to think about that myself. You know, do I go out to those who don't come to me? I recently had a funeral. Nobody you know. And that I was asked to do it was a peculiar thing. These were not my people. This was something I was asked to do through a funeral home. You know, and if you have time to do it, it's I like to support the funeral home. I like to support people, you know, and so I had agreed to do it, and I'm paid. Let's not kid ourselves. They also pay me. I didn't really have the time for it. And I had begun to wonder whether I should be doing this funeral at all. It's like, oh, man. It's not about the money because, you know, come on. That's not why you're doing it. And so why are you doing this? You're too busy. You got other things going on. You should not have come. You shouldn't have said yes to this funeral because someone else could have done it. They would have done just fine. But I did the funeral and I did a good job. And then I got in a conversation with somebody afterward. And then I got another conversation with another person there. And suddenly I'm talking to 3 or 4 or 5 people. And all of these people are not church people. They don't go to funerals. They don't go to church. And they wanted to talk to me about the words that I said. They wanted to talk about the way that I presented scripture, the way that I talked about life and death and God and our relationship with each other and with God. And for them, it seemed new. They hadn't heard that talk before, and they appreciated it. I sat with one fellow for quite a while, and he cried and cried and cried. And I thought at the time, as I'm talking to this person, I'm not here for this funeral. I'm here for him. That's why I'm here. I need to talk with this person. You see, I'm not saying he was a sinner any more than all of us are sinners. I'm not saying he was a tax collector any more than any of us collaborate with the powers that be. The thing is, he felt disconnected from God. And something that I said and the way that I said it and then the conversation we had afterwards was helping him make that connection. I probably did more that day with that fellow and sort of 3 others. Probably did more ministry that day with them than I do on a Sunday morning with a full church and a great sermon. That, to me, is what Jesus is talking about. I love preaching to the 99. They hired me, and I get along very well with them. But every now and again, I need to go out and talk to the one. Every now and again, I need to go out there and look for that lost coin, recognizing that the people who are lost, the people who are disconnected, I actually might have something to say to them. I don't mean that I have to convert them, get them to join my church, come over with the 99. No, but I do have something to say to them, and so do you, so do any of us. When we dare to share our faith, when we tell our story honestly and simply, people hear it and go, "Oh, it's like that." That's not what I assume. That's not what I see on TV. That's not what I saw in that YouTube documentary. That's not the way people talk. It's like that. One-on-one, we communicate our faith far better than throwing scripture verses at people or handing out pamphlets saying, "There you go, read that, you'll have the answers." No, it's when we just dare to share. So that's reaching out to me, to that tenth. And I think, that lost sheep or that tenth coin, I think that that's what Jesus is talking about here. But it's not the only thing that you can hear. But this is addressed to the Pharisees and the scribes. And now I'm going to lead into something that I very, very often preach, and I'm going to try very hard not to make it a preaching moment, but this is not the first time I've wondered this, clearly, but it's right there and I can't leave it alone. He is talking to the Pharisees, who are grumbling. "Welcome sinners, eats with them," which is to say, "Why isn't he eating with us?" Got it. So, if you notice, that woman finds her 10th coin. She has 10 coins, she lost one. So she's got 9, she's lost one, she finds it, and then she calls together her friends and throws a party. I'm assuming that party had a cost, right? You don't usually call it instant potluck. Maybe you do, but probably you don't. You gotta get some food together. You gotta get some, you know, you have to get stuff together for a party. parties have a cost. Now, it's not explicit here that it was a great big elaborate party, but, you know, we've been hearing about banquets and stuff like this, so I'm assuming that this comes with some cost. So isn't it ironic? She's got 9 coins. She knows there's another one somewhere. She finds it and then spends it having a party to celebrate having found that coin. My father would tell you that's exactly the way I would do things when I was 19, 20, 40, 50, 60. not smart with your money that way. And if you're not quite sure of that, well, then let's go back to the first parable. So the shepherd goes out, he finds the lost sheep, right? Lays it on his shoulders, got that sheep there, rejoices, comes home, he calls together his friends and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost." There is going to be great joy. There is a celebration. There is a party. And you know what makes a really great party? Lamb. I don't think it was lost on the people in those days who heard this story that we are celebrating the finding of this lamb and that we're going to eat it, or we're going to eat one like it. Again, we're going to spend this very thing that we have found. So we're not going to keep it and add it to our collection. Go, there you go. Look at that. I got 100 now. No, I was missing one. Oh, I got it. Let's eat. Who's got mint? That's what the lamb is there for. Okay, so lambs, sheep, lambs, in this context, they're not pets. He's not putting together a zoo where he's got 99 exhibits. If you only get one more, you get up to 100. No, no, sheep were shorn for their wool, and they were eaten for their meat. Coins exist. Well, I appreciate there are people who collect coins and like to frame them and look at them. But generally speaking, coins are exist that they might be spent. Seems to me that the Pharisees and scribes are grumbling that Jesus won't eat with them because they see access to Jesus, relationship with God, as a reward. He should come and eat with us. We're good company. We'd love to hear his stories. We want him to honor us with his presence. We want to be honored. For them, faith is a reward. But in this context of these parables, Jesus is reminding them, no, faith is activation. When you are found by God, you will be put to work. You will be doing the thing you were meant to do. So if you're a coin, you will be spent when you're found by God. If you are a lamb, you will be eaten. That's what lambs are for. Right? This is not a Disney movie. So when you're found by God, your gifts are activated. Faith is not a reward that invites you to sit back and go, who are we inviting to dinner tonight? That's not it. No, faith is the thing that makes you of utility, of use to your neighbors, to the world. And it seems to me that that's the issue here. The Pharisees and the scribes, they fail to understand that. To be found is to then be spent by God. And when I start to think about that, I then start to wonder. Do I see my faith as activation? Do I see my faith as reward? There are moments when I feel I'm in the right place at the right time. I am aligned with God's will. Things are going very well. And it is its own reward. It feels fantastic. Like that funeral I'm talking about. It was hard to hear those stories. And yet, as I drove away, I felt very good about having been there and being of some value in that moment. So yes, there is a reward to it. But that reward is not cut off for the rest of the world. It's not just for me. It's a reward. The reward is that sense of being part. Faith is when I'm actually of value to other people. And I didn't want to go and do that funeral. If I hadn't been paid, I'm not sure that I would have gone. But the payment is a contract I'd agreed to. So, yeah, there are times that I want to sort of just be faithful and see that as a reward. I want someone to give me money because I have a collar and I can say nice words. When in fact, I should be reveling in the opportunity to connect with people and share with them something much greater than me. Share my faith, which invite them into their own faith and their own relationship with God. That's when I need this parable. Because there are moments, I don't think I am as far off as the Pharisees and the scribes in this story, but I do wander in that direction from time to time and take my faith as a reward, not as an activation to do more, which I don't think means that you have to exhaust yourself or run yourself to the brink as a matter of faith. There is a balance. But scribes and the Pharisees were far too much on the reward and not the activation. And by the way, I do know folks who are on the activation. They never seem to take any moment to marvel at creation, to feel good about some of the work that they've done, because they're always focused on what I could be doing next. So yeah, for me, this is about finding that place in between. Anyway, you know what? I've prattled on enough. I'm going to leave it with you to think about it, to wonder, and discover yourself in the parable, and discover what God is saying to you as you wonder. So let me offer a prayer. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for parables that speak to us and to our neighbors and say different things. Thank you for parables that speak to us differently today than they did yesterday. And remind us that we have an ongoing dynamic relationship with you. There is a conversation. And as we dare to speak, so we need to dare to listen. So God, thank you for this time of listening. And we ask that as we have heard your voice, that we follow. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough of me today. But I do look forward to seeing you tomorrow, because we have more, and I want to share it. And until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and knows you and loves you exactly as you are, where you are. But that God's love not only meets you where you are, but then it moves through you into the world. Wherever you go, that love goes too. That's what it is to be blessed, to receive that love, but not to take it simply as reward, but to let it activate you. You make a difference in the world, whether you know it or not. You do share God's love, and it matters. Thank you for being you. We'll see you tomorrow.